You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Most Americans, when they're driving long distances, will stop to eat at a McDonald's or a Friendly's because they're what you find at most of the highway rest stops. But there are a lot more interesting places if you're willing to look a bit closer. And that's what Chef Alton Brown found on a motorcycle trip across Manhattan. It's the subject of a four-part series called Feasting on Asphalt, which premieres this Saturday, July 29th at 9 p.m. on the Food Network. Alton Brown is the host of Good Eats and a member of the cast of Iron Chef America, also on the Food Network, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to my show. Hello.
Thanks. By the way, it wasn't a motorcycle trip across Manhattan. It was a motorcycle trip across the United States.
I said America, didn't I?
No, you said Manhattan.
Oh, did I? Oh, gee, you know.
Which would be a fascinating trip, yeah. But not very good motorcycling.
No, especially since the first show is the South Shall Fry Again, when you're talking about South Manhattan.
It could be the South Bronx, perhaps.
Jane and Michael Stern were here recently to talk about their three decades of road trips in search of real American food. How is your quest different from theirs?
I think that the Sterns are very much about the food, meaning they objectify the food. They rate the food. And I get a sense of their work that it is more about guiding people to specific places.
Usually a place in some town nobody ever heard of.
Right. It's a very kind of specific experience. What I was out to do was to try to capture a sense of the overall experience. I'm not really interested in good food. As a matter of fact, I've become far more interested in food that I perceive as not being good because it points to a certain homogenization of the palate. Or an herbification of the palate. You know, here in America, we're pretty much golden brown and delicious. We like sweet, we like salty, we like fatty. But the truth is traveling across the country used to mean being exposed to foods that were very much about that place. And as you travel from place to place, there were a lot of foods that your mouth actually doesn't enjoy very much. And instead of saying, ooh, that's bad, what you really ought to do is stop and say, whoa, I need to acquire that, or I need to experience this. And I think that that's where we're a little bit different, because I'm really not looking for best or even good, but authentic.
But you're also not looking, if you say you're not interested in great food, but that doesn't mean that you want to go to the drive-thrus or the chain restaurants.
No, the goal was to travel the Blue Roads, you know, get off the interstate and to find what is authentic, mostly owner-operated, which I find owner-operator restaurants to be vastly superior. But we were also eating in private homes and camping and eating at church socials. And VFW halls and things like that.
Did you have an itinerary, or is this the sort of thing where you show up in a town and you say, where do you eat?
Yep, that's the way it was. We had no itinerary, which is actually very difficult to do today, at least in filmmaking. We left the Atlantic and needed to get to the Pacific, and we did not know how we were going to go, and we didn't know what we were going to eat.
How do you explain the ubiquity of all the fast food places and the drive-thrus? Have Americans learned to settle for mediocre food because they are more convenient?
I'm not even going to use words that are quantifiers like mediocre. You know, I won't say that a Big Mac is bad, but I won't say that. I'm not going to say that it's bad.
I'll say it.
What I will say is that what the interstate system did for us is it suggests and enforces a sameness. And I would argue that sameness is of limited value. Let's say, for instance, that you and I both held that the Big Mac sandwich at McDonald's was the pinnacle of hamburgerdom. That would still be a problem for me. The ubiquity and the homogenization in and of itself would be a problem. So I'm trying to remove that from the quantifying of good and bad.
If you were making a similar trip in France, you'd probably come upon a few Michelin-starred restaurants. But there's nothing like that in the back roads of America, is there?
Well, I actually think that there is. I just think that we don't know how to look at it or taste it. We will gladly eat at a truck stop in France or Italy, but I don't know many Americans that stop and eat at truck stops here.
Are they as good as they are in France and Italy?
In ways, yes. In ways, they are, unless you're looking for French food, in which case you're generally not going to find too much of that. But I have found that the quality of food is a lot higher than most people suspect.
And a lot of it is really just home cooking. often of a high order, if you're lucky, anyway.
Or at least of a traditional order, you know, something that actually does tie back to someone's heritage.
On the first show, you went to a hot dog place in South Carolina, then to a biscuit place in Georgia. You had a cup of coffee in a diner, and you went to a soul food place.
Yeah, Shirley Soul Food, Toccoa, Georgia. One of my favorite meals of the trip.
So why those? Why not? Why weren't you searching for the best barbecue, as so many people do, or the most homemade tasting apple pie?
Again, you're using quantifiers. Most, best. I don't care. Authenticity is all I care about, and I stopped on whimsy. Although I don't think that word applies very well. I didn't stop at any barbecue places because I didn't pass any that rang my bell. And of course, at the very beginning of the trip, I was very much trying to decide what is the criteria for stopping. Do I only stop when I'm hungry? Do I stop because a sign catches my eye? And I don't know why that happened. I do know that in episode 2 of Feasting on Asphalt, there's a lot of pork. Mm-hmm. And we got it down to basically 2 barbecue places that were very different styles. So barbecue is coming, but it's going to have to wait for North Carolina.
And that is the big debate throughout America. Is North Carolina the best place for barbecue? Is it?
Well, you can't let go of those words, can you?
Okay, best. I'm sorry. I don't want to eat bad food. I'm sorry. Well, that was your trip. I mean, you were on a motorcycle. There's no way
but there's
I'm going
a lot
anywhere
of degrees
on a motorcycle.
When people look, really? Yeah, it's a lot of fun. When you look at something like barbecue, and let's talk about barbecue for a second, because there are a zillion ways to make it, as you know. I mean, there's probably 7 or 8 different styles just in North Carolina. But when you widen out the experience to say, okay, is this good or is this authentic? Does it matter? If I had, you know, a gas station barbecue that came out of some big machine that actually tasted better than some little guy who's doing it on a smoke pit, which one is actually better? And it depends on your classifications.
Because you're also talking about the experience.
You are. And you're talking about the people. And you know what? I think the most valuable thing about road food, or what I'm most pleased about this trip, is that we do not separate at any time place and people from the food.
The only reason I keep on coming up with this best, I guess, is because you are a chef as well. And obviously you had standards when you were cooking.
Yes.
And those standards, I'm sure, were to turn out really wonderful tasting food, not necessarily authentic food. I mean, can you learn something as a chef from those authentic food places?
I learned a lot. Oh, For instance, I spent a better part of a day in the Navajo Nation in Kayenta, Arizona. I'd been invited to come help cook food for a birth party that they were having there. And
you have to tell me where that is. I've been to Kayenta and had only, I'm sorry to use a qualifier, lousy food.
Lousy food?
The Holiday Inn was the best place.
Well, this was a private home. And we were cooking traditional Navajo food. And what I found is that as I was working on it, and of course I was fabricating and working and cooking based on my experience and standards, and was corrected from that several times. I wasn't cooking the meat enough, and I wasn't, you know, I didn't have my my lamb entrails wrapped around the beef fat tightly enough, and things like that. Things I'd never cooked before, big old pieces of mutton. But what I found is I was kind of feeling snobby about, well, I could make this a lot better if only you would let me. But then 2 things. One is when the whole thing came together at the end, and this was put into this the way it's supposed to be and whatnot, things tasted a whole lot better than I thought. But above all, the ways of preparing them had a very deep and specific meaning to those that were eating it. And that is the thing that we so often negate in food, is that meaning and that connection.
And it's the reason why something that reminds us of the way our mother cooked or our grandmother cooked is often better for us than something.
Well,
that...
that's true. Even, you know, I know people that adore certain terrible pieces of food simply because that's the way their mom did it. And so does that mean it's worse? Well, I'm not so sure anymore. I'm not.
Alton Brown has put together a 4-part series that begins this Saturday at 9 p.m. on the Food Network, Feasting on Asphalt. That on top of his regular show, Good Eats, and his appearances on Iron Chef America. And you did this whole thing on a motorcycle.
I did.
Now, how does making a trip like this on a motorcycle add to the experience? Would it have been different if you'd gone by car?
Well, you know, I really wanted to feel the road. I wanted to feel the environment. When you're on a motorcycle, you're in the weather. You are on the road. You're paying attention to the road, or else you end up dead. You smell things. sooner and more distinctly. Even certain things like small people that ride only in cars don't realize that there can be very sudden temperature shifts, or you can actually start to feel changes in weather very acutely. Elevations you feel more acutely. So I wanted to really feel part of the road. I am an avid motorcyclist, so for me it was also a sense of I like to travel with people, but alone. And so, you know, the idea of being in a car with four guys, I don't think I could have taken that.
Although, if anything went wrong, you were being followed by a film crew, so you
well,
wouldn't
have had four to worry. Of us were on bikes. Three of us, three of the technicians, were in just a pickup truck that was full of gear, and I suffered kind of the worst thing that can happen. About 20 miles outside of Las Vegas, on a gravel track, going out to where a chuck wagon reenactment was taking place, I went down. And broke my collarbone and
really?
Busted up several ribs and busted up my bike good, and ended up having to do the last week of shooting with a sling on from the back of a car, which made for a very different kind of trip. And all I can say is that they actually did have the camera rolling. So if you stick around till episode four, you'll actually watch me break my bones. So,
and then, of course, that affects everything else you do,
yeah.
doesn't it?
It does, yes. You're absolutely right. Like breathing or, yeah, picking up a pencil, things like that.
So you've done this for these four places where people, these four shows, and asked people for recipes. And is it surprising that so many people are willing to share their recipes? Often these are family secrets, aren't they?
I never asked for a recipe.
Well, you got recipes. No?
I was given one on paper the whole time I was there, and it wasn't in the show. There was no recipes. I don't want their secrets. I don't want to know how they do what they do. In some instances, I was there for the cooking. In Estill, South Carolina, I was actually taken to the back of a little office at a motel I was staying and given a lesson on North Indian curry, which was one of the 10 top things I'd ever put in my mouth. So I did get that recipe because I was there for it.
Oh, but you gave us a biscuit recipe, and I just assumed that.
Well, the biscuit, what you saw was we followed a procedure. You know, I didn't write anything down, and that is not the norm for the show. I wanted people to see the process because it's so not a factory. But I never asked anybody for a recipe because I don't feel, one, I think we put too much emphasis on them, and two, it's personal.
Now, this is totally opposite from what happens on Iron Chef America, where it's all about perfection, and
yeah.
the three judges say things like, well, this is heavenly, but the salmon is a little overcooked.
If it had been Spanish saffron instead of Turkish, perhaps this dish would fly, yeah. Opposite ends of a spectrum, all within reason.
But when you're cooking at home.
Oh, I cook very simply. I try to take the approach that, you know, it's the Hippocratic Oath begins with the first do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I try to do. I try to bring in decent food and not mess it up.
Have you cooked at any restaurants?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I got out of culinary school, I went through about 13 of them. Gathering as much knowledge as I could soak up along the way.
But any number of chefs have gone on the road. You know, we have Tony Bourdain as well.
Is he a chef?
Yes, he is.
Really? I've never seen him cook anything.
Well, he had his own restaurant here.
Mm-hmm. How's that working out for him?
Well, I think other people are doing the cooking. He shows up once in a blue moon
when
he's
smoke.
Doing a personal
I've
dinner.
Seen him smoke cigarettes.
He does.
That's the only
do you
thing
think
I've
chefs
him
should
do.
Not smoke?
I think that's a personal decision. I think it's you can't call yourself – you cannot say that you possess a fine palate if you smoke. It's simply impossible.
He was a chef at Leal mm-hmm. in Manhattan. Sure. You knew that, didn't you?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
were just kidding me. But
he's a chef. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not a chef. I'm a mechanic.
Well, and you know how to fix that motorcycle.
No, I don't. I wish I did. I'd save money.
Alton Brown can be seen regularly on the Food Network with his show Good Eats. He's also a regular on Iron Chef America, where he's a member of the cast, not one of the Iron Chefs. And now there's this four-part series of his travels across America on a motorcycle called Feasting on Asphalt. It premieres this Saturday, July 29th at 9 p.m. on the Food Network. And I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. You're a good talker.